You have to be strong to stick to your convictions. Because the tidal wave, the tsunami wave of public opinion and what they call culture has bombarded theology to the point that theology has laryngitis and lost its voice in this present age, and we are in trouble. And as it is now, so was it then. There was the Pharisees who didn't really like the Sadducees, but they got together to fight Jesus. Each one of them having their own versions and ideas and philosophies that were pervasive in the day. And Jesus withstood them all, firm in his conviction, willing to debate them. Their doctrines and their philosophies did not intimidate Jesus because he understood that it was an ideological war. An ideological war has no bullets, has no guns, no grenades. It is a war of opinions and ideas. There was a group there that existed in the early church called Gnostics or Gnosticism. Not with a K, but with a G. But it means the same as if we were to put a K-N-O, there's a G-N-O, Gnosticism. It is where we get the word agnostic. Agnostic is to not know. So if somebody says to you, I'm agnostic, they're not saying that they don't believe in God, they just say, I'm not sure, I don't know. Gnostic is to know. So Gnosticism in the early church was a prevailing ideology that suggested that they knew God and that they intellectually ascended up the ladder to God. In fact, they thought that Jesus was just a step up the ladder to God. Gnosticism, to know. They thought that the more you know, the more you transformed into a type of God, the more you know. Now, the problem with that idea is this. God cannot be just and be Gnosticistic. Because in order to be just, we would all have to have the same IQ. To the person who is dull of wit or slow to learn or unable to grasp certain ideas, God would be beyond their reach if Gnosticism was true. Because if Gnosticism was true, the smarter you were, the more like God you were. Then God could only be embraced through knowledge. The Pharisees thought that the way to approach God was through acts of holiness, self-righteousness. They thought that the more righteous and the more pious they were, the closer they were to God. So they were known for their long praying and their long garments and their beads and their prayers and their rituals and their routines because they thought through ritualism and routine was the way to get to God. You hear what I'm saying to you? In the midst of all of these varying ideas, the Sadducees, for example, thought that the spirit of the body didn't leave a man for 3 days. That's why Jesus waited till Lazarus had been dead 4 days, so that the Sadducees couldn't say he didn't really raise him from the dead because he wasn't within the parameters of our theology. Jesus waited till there was no doubt amongst the skeptics that Lazarus was dead. So Mary says to him, don't go to the grave now because by now he stinketh. God has a way of not showing up. Until it's stinky. God has a way of not giving an old man a baby until he's impotent, his wife is past childbearing age, and even if she weren't past childbearing age, she was barren, and when it was totally impossible with man, God stepped in and said, now I'm ready to do something. Have you ever watched God let you wear yourself out? Trying to do stuff by yourself. And finally, when you finally give up and say, okay, God, I can't do it, that's when he steps in and shows himself strong. Hebrews 11 reminds us that faith is not a New Testament idea, that it is not a result of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, that from the creation of man forward, people have been moved by faith. The book of Hebrews 11 reminds us that faith cannot be confined by dispensations, structures, or order. Or to break it down simply, it reminds us that faith never goes out of style. A lot of other things will go out of style. By the time I found a pair of skinny jeans that could fit me, and decided that it might be okay to wear them, now they done gone widely. People change their mind from week to week to get a little bit more of your money. By the time you got an Apple 7, they got an Apple 8. By the time you got an Apple 8, they got an Apple 10. By the time you got 10, they got an Apple 12. I stopped counting. I said, this 8 is working for me. Faith never goes out of style. It doesn't wait for the transition of time or the coming of Moses. It exists before Moses. It exists before the Pentateuch. It exists before the law. Faith just is. But the reason why faith is faith is a common denominator that regardless to how intellectual you are or not, you have equal access to it because faith is the gateway to everything promised to you. Now, this is deep, but you need to understand this. You need to understand this because some people who are exceptionally smart are also exceptionally frustrated because they think that they should be compensated on the level of their intellect. And here you come in with less degrees and got paid more money, and they can't understand how you got what you got. Somebody holler, it's a faith thing. They're the fine woman looking at a woman that's just ordinary, saying, how did you get a man like that? It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It is a faith thing. Now, in order to have faith, how do I get faith? How do I get faith? Because today we think faith is willpower. So we get sick and say, I just believe it, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. I confess it, and I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. I believe I'm healed, I believe I'm healed. I just believe it, I just believe it. I believe I'm going to hit the lottery. I believe. They're all in Vegas pulling a lottery down. I believe. But it doesn't say have faith in faith. It says have faith in God. Now, faith has nothing to do without hope. You can have faith all you want, but if you don't have hope, you can't do anything. The reason that faith is a common denominator, let me finish that up. The reason that faith is a common denominator, Jesus says, except you become like a little child, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That means that he has reduced it down. I use this phrase all the time, it's out of style. They don't teach it in school like that anymore. But we used to reduce fractions down to its lowest common denominator and then multiply. That's how I was taught in school. They don't teach it that way anymore. They got a whole different method. So you had to find the lowest common denominator in order to do it. Faith is God's lowest common denominator. He's brought it down so low that you can be illiterate and still believe. If an illiterate man gets sick beside an intellectual man that gets sick, the intellectual man has no more advantage over the illiterate man when it comes to miracles, because it is by faith. The Gentile has no more power than the Jew, because it's by faith. If you walk slowly through the book of Romans, Paul will prove to you. He teaches you what the Jews were and how their history were, and he goes all back through their antiquities and their ancestry, and he validates who they were, and then he counts it all as dung. Said, don't mean nothing. Then he talks about the Gentiles and how wild they were and how perverted they were and how promiscuous they were. And he said, it doesn't mean nothing, because God has equalized the playing floor. He's brought it down to just by faith. There's some righteous women in here. You grew up righteous. You've always been pure. You've always been virtuous. You've always been honorable. When you got married, you were a virgin, and you're sitting right behind a woman who was a slut. You don't get no more glory when the glory falls than the woman who was a slut. Because it's not by works lest any man should boast, it's by faith. This is why you have haters. Because haters don't think that you deserve to have whatever you have, because they think that they are better or purer or smarter or better looking or brighter. But look at somebody say, no, 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 no. It's a faith thing. I know it doesn't make sense to you that I got a promotion. I know it doesn't make sense to you that I pastor a church like this. I know it doesn't make sense that I'm directing the choir. I know it doesn't make sense that God has raised me up. I know it doesn't make sense that God put me on the cover of Time Magazine. I don't have no business on the cover of Time Magazine. I didn't make any great discovery. I didn't do it. It's not going to make sense to you, because it's a... What God is getting ready to do in your life is totally illogical. It makes no sense. It has no rationale. You have no background. It's a... I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm getting somebody ready to receive it. The problem with you receiving the promises of God, I'm just talking, I ain't got started yet. The problem with you receiving the promises of God is that sometimes God promises you the most illogical stuff. As long as I've been walking with God, God said something to me a few years ago. I wrestled with him about 3 years, telling him, I don't even know nothing about that. How could you give that to me? I don't have no background in that. I wasn't qualified for that. And God was busily building it up. It didn't make no sense. It scared me when it didn't make sense. Can I be honest with you? The person who's teaching you faith got scared. Because sometimes God has something for you that is so mind-boggling. Can I just be honest with you? I wrestled with him like Jacob. It was a good thing. It was a great blessing. It had great purpose. But I didn't want to touch it because it didn't make sense. And then I thought, it didn't make sense for David to be king. How do you make a shepherd boy king? He has no background, he has no protocol. His father was a peasant. He grew up taking care of sheep. He had not been trained. He didn't go to school for it. He wasn't prepared for it. But God said, I found me a man who's after my heart, and he's going to be the next king of Israel. For it is not by might, it is not by power, it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I say this because there are some things that God said to you that are frightening. It doesn't make sense. You're scary. You're reluctant to receive it. You don't feel qualified. You don't feel ready. And yet God's going to do it. And he told me to tell you, it is a faith thing. Whoever I'm talking to, give him a praise.